time that I am looking at a newspaper, at television, at a website, my eyes are immediately drawn to the one thing on the screen that is wrong grammatically. Except when it's my own. So if you're wondering where Mark Luke is, you are not the only one. Those who have eyes to see, right? That is okay. So we are in Luke 2. Luke 2 will be there this morning if you'd like to follow along with us. Son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see and ears. They have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear, for they are rebellious people. Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear, and don't you remember? This is going to be our call and response portion. I'd love for you just to speak. This is okay. It's okay to speak in church. Look at this picture. What do you notice? What do you see? It's dark, okay? Should we turn the house lights down? Can y'all see it? You can see it okay? Okay. I'm completely blinded at the moment. I can't see anything. Okay, there's a beer bottle outside. There's some trash on the ground. What else do you see as you look at this picture? What's that? Wise people. All right. You see two people. Okay. There's a star. Okay. Right up here. All right. What else? There's a plant growing in the sidewalk. Yeah. Don't look at my sidewalks. We have the same thing. She's pregnant, using a payphone, which is really hard to find these days, right? Anything else we notice? She's riding a unicorn, okay. Or some sort of like riding horse. Yeah, I can't tell. That's just the ear or what's going on. Anything else? Okay, it's one of those, yeah, rocking horses back and forth. She's not getting anywhere fast on that thing, okay? She looks kind of tired, maybe a little scared. Yes, the motel has no vacancy but a new manger because the A has fallen off, and free HBO, in case anyone's wondering, okay? And it's Dave City Motel. Okay, so backpack, they are on the move, and it looks like he's looking for a place to stay. So he's flipping through a Yellow Pages, and most of the kids in the room are going, what's that? And that's okay, that's pre-Google. It's how you looked things up. It's how you found telephone numbers. Okay, this is a comic strip by a guy by the name of Everett Patterson. And Patterson calls this Maria y Jose. It is a telling of the Mary and Joseph story. As they are at Dave City, Bethlehem, on the move, not getting anywhere fast because she's very pregnant, and they are looking for a place to stay. It's gritty, it's a little raw, it's real, and it's full of all sorts of little allusions and interesting interpretations. There's a lot of signs and symbolisms within this, if you stop and spend time with it. I love that there's a sense of desperation here. But we also know, knowing the story, that there's hope. I love that little plant that Charlotte pointed out growing by Mary's feet, because in the midst of the darkness, there's new life. In fact, there's a prophecy in the Old Testament about how out of nothing the shoot of Jesse will spring forth as new life breaks into the world. And we all know how this story ends. It's why it gives us hope. In the time of desperation, this is the greatest story ever told. And it doesn't seem quite so bleak to us because we have eyes to see. But we have 20/20 vision when we're looking back. And I started with a couple of verses this morning, and I'd like for us to read them together if we can. So read with me from Ezekiel 12:2. Son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. And then Mark 8:18, do you have eyes to see, but fail to see, and ears, but fail to hear, and don't you remember? I want us to imagine for just a moment that we are standing in the entry of our business. And it's the time of the year in which we are incredibly frazzled. And you have a great problem on your hands. All of your rooms are full. You are finally booked solid. You've got a waiting list for a room, just some space. You finally, maybe for the first time, get to light up that no in front of the vacancy sign. And there's not enough beds or pillows to go around, and everybody's going to want breakfast in the morning, and where are you going to get enough eggs at this time of the night for that buffet? And then there's that blasted star overhead, shining so brightly and keeping everyone awake. They're asking for blackout curtains. You don't have blackout curtains at your motel. And then there's a knock at the door. And a young couple, just barely older than a couple of kids, stand there. The woman is very pregnant and clearly uncomfortable, and the man looks a little frantic. We're traveling and in need of a room, and I think my wife's in labor. And you really want to help, you do, but you're full up. There's not even a spare corner to be had. And finally, feeling a little guilty, you tell them the stable's free if they want it, and they agree. And then you glance up amazed at that moment and you ask the couple, does that star seem brighter and closer than it did a few minutes ago? But there's so much to do, so you get back to work cleaning up and putting things away as the young couple shuffles off towards the stable, and really they just flow out of your mind. Throughout the stories that we've been looking at, these birth announcements, and throughout the story that Al read for us this morning, I'm struck by the signs of what God is doing around people that they so quickly missed. The innkeeper doesn't see it. Neither does anyone else in Bethlehem. None of the religious leaders in Israel take note at this moment about what is happening, not the elders or the scribes or the priests. It takes a bunch of pagan magi from the far east to alert them as to what is happening around them. Herod only takes notice then out of jealousy and fear. How many people saw the star in the sky? How many others heard the cacophony of the angelic chorus but then just tuned out the noise? How many missed what was happening right in front of their eyes? How many of them couldn't see the glory in their midst? And how did they miss it? Were they too busy, too focused on other things, too wrapped up in their own agendas, too far from God to notice when He was there? Or maybe too busy working for God to hear from God, or noticed when He shows up? This is one of my favorite times of the year. I love the decorations, I love the music, I love the season. I love the looks on my kids' faces when they see the presents under the tree or the beautiful lights shining brightly in our neighborhood. I even love it when they're fighting about who gets to plug the lights in. But this year has actually been kind of a struggle for me because it hasn't felt an awful lot like Christmas. I don't know if it's because I've just been too busy and there's so much hecticness in life, or maybe it's because I spent so many weeks away at training this fall, or maybe because there's just so much to do and accomplish and we've been running around like crazy. But this year it's struggled to feel a little bit more like Christmas. And there's a song that I love that speaks to me right now. How many of you know the group Straight No Chaser, a cappella group? If not, look it up, they're fun. They've got this song called Christmas Can Can, and it starts like this. Christmas, Christmas, time is here. Sorry. Christmas, Christmas, time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear. Thoughts of hope and joy and cheer, but mostly shopping, shopping, shopping. And the song goes on to talk about how people are out ransacking the malls and fighting over toys and going crazy for Christmas. But they're going back and forth about how it's Christmas time, it should be full of joy, and yet it doesn't feel that way. And so often in our lives, we get so busy with everything that has to get done to notice what really matters. Sometimes we're so involved in what we have to do, the tasks that we must accomplish, the deeds that have to get done, the items that need to be checked off the to-do list, that we miss what's most important. One of my neighbors right now has this massive sign in their yard that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. We pass by it every day. And then right beside it are a dozen little light-up presents decorating the yard. I love Christmas, don't get me wrong. But I feel that tension in my own heart, too. Because it's meant to be a season of peace, of hope, of joy. But for many of us, it just feels frantic and frenzied. Some of us seem harassed and helpless, stressed and shopped out. And we're so busy trying to not forget anyone or anything that we might be forgetting the whole point of it all. And I think that might be what's happening to all of those who overlooked the signs. The innkeeper has guests to keep happy. The religious leaders are busy just trying to keep their institution running. Herod is consumed by consolidating his power. People had too much going on to realize what was going on. But there are others who do see and take notice. And we're introduced to them in our texts. So you've got the Magi who saw the star and began a journey that possibly lasted as much as 2 years. And they're seeking out a king that was foretold would be born. You see, they were just minding their own business, but they took notice of a sign when it appeared, and they set out on a mission that would change the course of their lives. Or just a few minutes ago, Al read to us about a group of shepherds who were sitting on a hillside. And shepherds were nothing special, no offense to them. They were day laborers who were caring for their sheep or maybe the sheep of other people. They struggled to make ends meet. Then they always smelled like sheep. And because of that, they didn't have too many other friends that also weren't shepherds, and no one really wanted them hanging around. So they lived on the fringes outside of town and only hung out with others like them and the sheep they were told to watch over. And there they are, minding their own business, literally, they are watching their sheep, in the darkest part of the night, when suddenly the sky is lit up and an angel begins to speak. Do not be afraid, the angel says. I bring you good news of great that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a heavenly chorus joins in and broke out in song. And they were overwhelmed by the majestic beauty of it all. And so they hurry off, as if this sign wasn't enough, but they were said, this isn't the sign. The sign is a little baby in a feeding trough. Go and find him. And right after that story, we encounter two other individuals who have been watching and waiting for signs. We encounter a man by the name of Simeon. All we're told is he's an older man. He's righteous and devout. And Luke tells us he is full of the Holy Spirit. And he had been told that the Messiah was going to come before he would die, and he felt prompted one day just to show up in the temple. And as he's walking along and just looking out over the scene, he encounters a young couple and a relatively newborn baby. And full of the Holy Spirit, he is inspired to sing a song. He takes the baby in his arms and begins to recite. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And the child's mother and father marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. The words are kind of mixed, aren't they? There's some words of hope and of joy and of peace. There's also some words of struggle here at the end. You have to wonder, Mary's going, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just here to do what I'm supposed to do. But in the midst of it, we're told something beautiful. This is hope, even in the midst of sadness. This is joy. This is deliverance. This is salvation. Even though it's going to come with some hardship. And this will be the sign that's spoken against. And then moving on from Simeon, they encounter another prophet, a woman this time by the name of Anna. And honestly, many in our society would have ignored her. Many in theirs would have too. The Bible tells us she's at least 84 years old, but depending on how you can translate that, she might be as old as 105 or so. She had been living most of that time as a widow. And so she dedicated her time, her life, her heart to living in the temple. And she spent day after day and night after night in prayer. And as the family is walking through, she too takes notice of Jesus. And we don't have her words, we don't have her blessing, we just know that she stops and spends time with this family. So what was it about these four different individuals or groups? In the midst of everybody else who was around, the thousands of people who have encountered this family during this time that we've been reading about these past few weeks, what is it that makes them stop and take notice? I think one thing is they were all available. Their hearts were evidently open. They were allowing God to use all sorts of different things, but to lead them to where He wanted them to be. And they took notice when God showed up. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, of course, Daniel, of course they noticed. They had a massive star and a chorus of angels. I mean, how in the world would you miss that? You think you could just ignore that if it showed up? And Simeon and Anna, they had been able to dedicate every single part of their life, all of their time and attention to just being with the Lord. But those things never happen to me. I've never seen a star. In Houston, it's hard enough to see any at all, really. I've never seen a chorus of angels. I'm too busy to take the time and focus my attention in the way that they could. But here's what I actually love about these stories. These were just ordinary people doing the ordinary things that they would always do. The Magi aren't Israelites. We don't know how much they knew about Yahweh, but probably not much at all. They are pagan astrologers who saw something incredible appear in the heavens. And so they set out to discover what God might be up to. The shepherds are just minding their own business when they take notice of what God is doing. They are not in the midst of prayer and in 40 days of fasting or a religious experience. They're just going about the normal tasks of their everyday lives. But they noticed when God showed up. They didn't ignore it. They didn't try to explain it away. And Anna and Simeon aren't the only people in the temple that day who had dedicated their lives to the Lord. There are literally hundreds, possibly thousands of people who are there who are seeking God. They're the only ones who seem to be attuned to what God was up to in that moment. You see, all of these individuals are just going through their normal everyday routines, whatever it was. But that normal everyday routine became a holy moment that made room for God. And God drew them to himself because they were attentive and looking for Him. And the same holds true for us. God is still working in the world around us. God is still looking for people who are looking for Him. We simply have to make room to notice. So how can we begin making room in our lives for God? Well, the first thing I think we need to do is slow down. Just stop for a moment. Take a breath and recognize our need for God. In fact, that's one of the reasons we're here. So I'd like for you just to stop for a minute. You're even allowed to stop listening to me. Some of you are like, did that a long time ago. It's okay. I want us to stop for a moment. If you need to for a second, just close your eyes. It's okay. If you fall asleep, you fall asleep. I'm good with that. Take a couple of deep breaths and remind yourself that God is here. Because we're told where two or three gather in his name, there he is. And really, he's there with you all the time anyway. If you've become a Christian, you have the Spirit living in you. God is present with you. God wants you to notice when he's there. I love that we sang "Be Still and Know" a little bit ago, because we need to be still and know that God is with us. It's a fine time to stop, take a breath, and recognize God's presence. One of the great blessings we have right now is our family is stopping and doing a short devotional for our family. We light these candles as a celebration as we remember who Jesus is. And the four candles we've been lighting represent hope, preparing our hearts, joy, and love. Now, for our girls, they simply enjoy lighting the candles and watching the flame and singing a song or two and then blowing them out and watching the smoke rise. They're kind of having fun with that right now. But what I love is that we're stopping for a moment, just for a few as a family, for some prayer, some scripture, some time together in a remembrance of Jesus. It's simple. It doesn't take us more than about 5 minutes. But it gives us a chance to make room for God. And I love those times for our family as we stop and remind ourselves that God is there in our minds and in our midst. Because I get so caught up in everything going on that I often miss when God is present. I get caught up, it's part of my job, I get caught up doing so much stuff for God that I forget to hear sometimes from God. So slow down and make some room. For you, that might mean turning off the television or sitting down for a meal with your family and spending a few minutes talking about faith. Maybe it means putting off going to the gym or saying no to another commitment or cutting your video game playing in half or your Instagram checking by a few minutes. But we don't need to just create some space. We need to do so. We need to fill it, that space. Fill that space intentionally. So as you find a way to make a little bit of space this week, I want to encourage you to do something like this. Spend some time in worship this week. That might mean singing a hymn or listening to songs that help you draw closer to God. Or just take a moment, take a walk, and thank God for the amazing things he has done. Spend a few moments in prayer each day. God wants to be with you. And one way you can do that is just to stop and talk with him. Don't feel like you have to spend 30, 45 minutes, an hour, unless you already have a deep prayer life. Take 15 seconds and offer a quick prayer. Take a minute. Spend time with God. Offer a blessing, give thanks, lift up the needs of others. Talk with God and see what difference that might make this week. Or commit to reading some scripture this week. And again, don't bite off a huge portion unless you're already doing that. You can just start with a verse. Maybe even just memorize the verse that you're reading and allow God's word to permeate your heart and mind. Some of us, maybe we need to focus on giving this season rather than receiving to remind ourselves of God. See how you can bless others, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Maybe for some of us, it's just to spend some time in quietness rather than the busyness of the day. So take 5 minutes and just sit and remind yourself that God is with you, and that's enough. Throughout this week, you're going to receive some emails. If you're visiting with us and you want to get these emails, feel free to drop your email address before you leave. I'm going to give you some ways in which you might be able to make some space for God in your life this week. I'd love for you to commit to just one thing. Don't feel like you have to do them all. Don't feel like you have to do them every day, although we'd love for you to. But commit to doing at least one thing that allows you to make room for God this week. Because here's the truth, God still wants to be present in your life. He's right there and he's just waiting for you to notice and invite him in. It's only those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray God blesses you this season, that you will notice his presence, that you'll notice his goodness, that you'll remind yourself that God loved you so much and loved me so much and loved the people sitting around us so much and loved the people that we've never met over the past thousands of years so much that he came and lived among us. And he did it so that we could go and live with him. And that starts here as we give our lives to Christ. As we say, I want to be your follower. I want you to lead my life. And I'll go wherever it is that you want me to go. If you make that commitment, then God will be with you. He would love for you to give your life to him through faith, through baptism, and to see what it means to live with the presence of God each day. And some of us today just need to be reminded that God is present with us. And so I pray that's happened for you today, that you will remember today and here on that God is with you. He is present with you, and he loves you so much that he wants to stay with you forever. Let's make some space to notice him this week. I'm going to pray for us very quickly. We're going to sing a song. If there's anything that you need to respond to, if there's anything you'd like to have prayed over, or you just want somebody to sit and talk with for a minute, you're welcome to respond as we stand and sing together. Or you're welcome to grab somebody before you leave today. But let's stop for a moment. We're going to make a little space for God, and then we're going to sing. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you. We thank you that you are present in our lives. Open our eyes to see where you are moving around us. Give us glimpses of your glory. Make us aware of your presence. Help us to remember your goodness and your love. Draw us close to you this week. Father, help us to realize that we have so many opportunities to be close to you. Help us just to take advantage of one or two. We thank you for Jesus, who reminds us of all these things, who reminds us of the truth that you love us so much that you came to be with us. Help us to give our lives to you. Help us to live with hope and peace and joy this week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Let's sing together, respond as you need.